Take your Bible this morning, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 6. Matthew chapter 28, find verse number 6. I want you to listen quickly this morning. I'll speak quickly. We've had a little extra fanfare, but we do need to make sure we hear a sermon on Easter Sunday morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6. Now, would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6. Before I read that passage of Scripture to you, there's something that I want to do. I'm going to read a couple of other verses. You do not need to turn to them. The Bible says in John chapter 9, verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, I'll read another passage. It says in John chapter 19, verse number 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. Now, if I may, he said, I've got a work to do. Then it says, he said, I finished. What was that process? Well, that process was that he came to do a work, and then he was crucified, and then he was resurrected from the dead. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6, it says, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He had a work to do. He did the work. He said, I'm going to finish the job. And we went to find an empty tomb. He finished the work that he came to do. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Work in our midst. Holy Spirit, give me the attention of the people. I'll give you mine. Bless the sermon. Lord, we're a little short on time, but time means nothing to you. So you can take the sermon in the amount of time that we have, and you can reach down from heaven and do something with it. Please do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It is also Workmate Sunday here at our church. Now, let me tell you something. What a great work Jesus did early in his ministry. He said, I've got a work to do. Later on, he's hanging on the cross, and he didn't say, it is finished later on. He said it right before he died. You're always better off talking before you die. So he later on says, it is finished. Well, what was finished? He had been born. He had lived 33 and a half perfect years. He then went to the cross. He died and was resurrected, and he finished up for you and I what we'd call the total package. He was building something. He was doing a work. See, I don't think you're saved by your works. I think you're saved by what he did. He did the work. We receive a gift. And he said, it's finished. He finished that thing. His death, his burial, and his resurrection turned out to be a job well done. His resurrection was him finishing the job and finishing it properly. Our God is a worker. Jesus did a great work. Some people would say, obviously, we know we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. But there was a work that was done that made salvation available to us. But it was not done by us. It was done by Jesus Christ. And what a great God. Now, today is Workmate Sunday here at our church, and it's Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to preach a sermon, and I want to talk to us about work. And I want to talk to us, obviously, we've seen the great work that Jesus did and the great thing that God did. And I now want to talk about this idea of work and building things. And I think no matter what age you are and where you've come from, I think you'll be challenged by this sermon today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was him finishing a process. He had done a great work. And that great work then makes it so you and I, those of you that are saved, we can go on and we can do great works because he did a great work. And then if you're not saved, he did a great work that will save you. And that's another great work of God. I believe the saved should be builders and builders of good things. There's a story in the Old Testament where Nehemiah used these words. He said, let us rise up and build. That's the theme. We're getting ready to start a building program around here sometime in weeks or months to come. We're going to call it, Let Us Rise Up and Build, because we ought to be building for God. You know, it's somewhat a natural thing. Children, they like to build things. You get them some Legos, they'll build with those Legos. You get them some blocks, they'll build things with those blocks. You get them some Lincoln Logs. They still make Lincoln Logs? Am I dating myself? How many of you know what Lincoln Logs are? Put your hand up. Thank God for you, you young whippersnappers. You don't know nothing. Lincoln Logs is back when kids were kids and ate worms and things like that. But you know, it's somewhat a natural thing for children to want to build. When I was a kid, I desired to build things. We built us a fort. Now, you could build a fort out of anything. Get you some cardboard, some old junky pieces of board or a blanket, or you could build you a fort. And we built tree houses. I built my own lawn mowing business when I was 13. Wasn't real good at it, but I started repairing bicycles because I was going to build a bicycle repairing business. I've always liked building things. Did you know everywhere you go there's building supply companies, and building goes on all the time. But you know, our God's a builder. And God wants us to be builders. Many of you, you work together, and this is a working group of people. I think we ought to be good builders. When I look at what God did, God sent Jesus down here, and the Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. God gave Jesus a job, and when he gave him that job, he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to be born of a virgin. Jesus did it. He said, I want you to live 33 and a half sinless years. Jesus did it. He said, now I want you to be crucified, and he did it. And then he said, I want you to get up out of the grave, and he did it. And then God said, how you doing down there? He said, it's finished. And God said, you did a good job. You did a good job. I believe that we're to be builders in the Christian life. For instance, I believe our God is a builder. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. We can all thank God. There's a city called heaven, and God built that city, and he's a builder. He's a worker. In 2 Corinthians 5:1 it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands. Once again, we find out God is a builder. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's a builder. God flung, he threw the universe out there. He built the earth that you and I live on. In Hebrews 3:4 it says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. See, God's a builder. And I think as Christians, we ought to follow that example. I think we all go to work because we're building something. You say, well, I'm not building a house or anything. Well, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. There are all sorts of things we're building. We go to work because we're building something. Most of us in this life, we're living this life, and we're building something in this life. And I think that God's a great builder, and he's a great example of building. Let me explain some of the things that I think that we build and that we ought to be building in our lives. For instance, I think we should work at building unity in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22 says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. God is talking about building together. He's talking about togetherness. Now let me explain something about that. I think in a church like ours, we ought to work on building unity. I think people in a church ought to get along. I think that, hey, look, I'll tell you right now, I really, really believe this, and might I also preface it by saying, if you're a guest here today, the people in our church do get along. We're not a bunch of fussing, fighting, fuming kind of people. We get along. We've got a great spirit. You walk into our church, you can tell there's a good spirit here. This isn't a morgue. This is a New Testament church. It's real happy that we get to be together on Sunday morning. We like that. But I think we're supposed to build this thing called unity. I think church folk ought to get along. I know this. When you go to work, I don't know how everybody gets along at work, but I can tell you this: the last thing, if people come to visit a church and people at church don't get along, people don't want to be a part of that. You say, why? You got to put up with that out in the world. You got to put up with that at work and other places. We like to be able to come someplace where there's unity. And you say, well, what's the key to that? You better learn to get along with God. If you'll get along with God, you'll figure out how to get along with people, because God is a getting along with people God. God, you say, well, he loves you. He loves you a lot. You say, how much? Well, enough that he put his hands on a cross and they nailed him there. Also enough that he got up out of a grave. We have some bus routes that go into our community to pick kids up and adults up if they'd like to have a ride to our church. We have 4 bus routes. I like those bus routes to have unity. I like them to get along. We've got 18 or 20 different Sunday school classes in our church. I want them to get along. I like that unity. We've got a lot of leaders in our church. I want them to get along. But let me recommend something to us. Folks, in your marriages, you need to get some unity, and you're raising kids. We got to work on that unity within our home. I think we are to follow God's great example and be builders. We're to be building unity in our life. Now, let me explain. We're not going to yoke up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's out there religiously. There are some things religiously that are wrong. But within our church, there ought to be unity. Within our homes, there ought to be unity. Within our marriages, there ought to be unity. Within our ministries, there ought to be unity. The Bible talks about unity and building it. But not only that, I think we're to build our homes. We're to build the home that God's given us. Psalm chapter 127, verse number 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now, that house to which he is referring, it's our family. The house in which you live, that's not near as important as the relationships within that house. I'm amazed. People put all sorts of money into the structure of their house and put nothing into the structure of the relationships in the home. Where you live is not near as important as to how you live, where you live, and what you're like in that house. God wants us to build our families. And I'm saddened, but in Hollyweird and across our nation, the family has been attacked and the family has been minimized. Well, I've got news for you. The family's still a big deal. And God still believes in the family. And God still wants families to get along. And we're not, when we talk about God building your family, we're not talking about necessarily increased numbers. Although, if you want to have 100 kids, go right ahead. Just make sure you can feed them and keep track of them. But I am here to tell you that God wants to build your family and build it spiritually. Folks, you ought to not just be married. You ought to be building your marriage. Build it. Build it. That'll take some dates. Every once in a while, take the woman out on a date. Take her somewhere gold. McDonald's has gold arches, you know. Spoil her up real big. Do something. Double up. Get her a double from Wendy's. You know, do something nice for her. But listen, we're to be building our homes. That'll take some dating. That's going to take some kindness. Believe it or not, you're not going to build your home and build your marriage properly unless there's some conversation. And it probably ought to be more than a holy grunt every once in a while. I mean, actually talk and work your way through things. In our homes, let's build our children. Let's build them by loving them. Let's build by the correction and the responsibility. And hey, I'll tell you, parents, you better teach your children your biblical convictions. They need to know what you believe from the Bible. Build your home. Build the atmosphere in your home. Listen, folks, there's some of you, you would never talk to each other or your children here at church the way you talk to each other at home. I've got news for you. Home is not supposed to be a hell on earth. It's not supposed to be like that. I'd be careful. If you can't use the word at church, I wouldn't be using the word at home. And some of you, need to get your temper under control, and you need to be building your home. You see, God sent Jesus to do a work. He finished the work. He built what he was supposed to build. He was to build you and I a thing called salvation, and he did it perfectly. He took it all the way to the resurrection. Now, we're to be building unity in our church and unity in our families, and we're to be building our homes. We're to be building our marriages and building our children and building our families and making them strong. But not only that, I think God wants his church built. I think God wants the church built. The Bible says in Matthew 16:18, "And he said unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." And here, Jesus said, "I want to build the church." Now, I can't necessarily build the church, and you can't necessarily build the church. God builds the church, but we jump in and we become the workforce. We're the laborers, and he owns the farm, if you will. But we are to be working toward that. And again, I have to tell you, you can go to churches all over the place, and they're not building the church. They're not interested in that. Some pastor, he makes enough money that he can keep his head above water. He doesn't care if he's reaching people. He does not care if he reaches out to the poor. He does not care if he's trying to reach moms and dads and families. He does not care if he's making a difference in the community. And God said, we're not just to sit idly by and just hope somebody stumbles into the church. We're to build it. We're to build it. We're to build unity around us. We are to build our families. We are to build the church. I think the Lord wants to see souls saved. I think God wants to see the kingdom of God increased. I think that we ought to want to build the local New Testament church. Now, the devil, he desires to tear all of this down. Again, it's Workmate Sunday. I said that I would talk on these special Sundays about some things that would apply to maybe our guests or to our everyday life. And everybody here, we're workers. And there's some things that we ought to work at. We ought to work at building the New Testament church and work at unity and work on our homes. I think, and to some of you that have been around the church a little longer, really take heed and listen to this. I think we're to build the new converts in the church. Amen. The new Christians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, "And ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up." See, here's somebody that had received Jesus, and the recommendation is being given by the Apostle Paul now that those people are built up. There are people that got saved just recently, and church is new to them, and Christianity's a little newer to them. Could I say to everybody in here, be patient with them? Not everybody's an overnight success like you. There are people in here, there's some things that they do in their life, and they're not good things. They probably shouldn't be doing them, but they've never been taught. They never heard about it from the Bible. It's how they've lived their whole life. Could I recommend to all the Christians that have been around a while that you have some patience and you let them grow? You've got to give them a chance to grow in the Lord. You've got to give them a chance to figure it out a little bit. Now, I'm not condoning anybody's misbehavior. I'm not condoning anybody's sin. But I am going to say when somebody gets saved, they need a chance to learn and to grow. And God said we're to build them up. And let me tell you this. Before you go around our church and you look at some newer Christian that's in our church and you get critical and you point at them and you want to criticize them, let me tell you something. How much time have you spent praying for that person? Did you get on your knees and ask God to strengthen them and help them and help them to understand and help them to grow? Hey, how much encouragement did you give them before you criticized them because they did something maybe that you disagree with? Now, I think everybody in here, I don't think you ought to sin. I think you ought to knock it off and fly right. But let me explain. If you're flying around the airport and you're not able to fly straight right away, we understand yours to grow. You need to make the newer Christian feel wanted and needed. And let me tell you what every new Christian needs. They need more than they need you to criticize them. They need your example. You love them. You be good to them. You let them see how a mature Christian lives. You say, well, I'm going to tell them. You let me tell them. I'll tell them. But that's what the preacher's supposed to do. But you need to be careful that you're helping the young Christians grow. Whether they're children, they're teenagers, or they're adults, they need a chance to grow. We're to be building the young Christians. You see, God's a great builder. He finished the job when it came to sending Jesus for His death, burial, and resurrection. He said, now you get down there and you build unity in your homes and unity in your church. And you get your family and you build that family and you build that local New Testament church and you build those young converts. You know what? We're supposed to have our faith built. Our faith is to be built. In Jude 1:20 it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You know, everybody here, you need to build your faith. That's one reason why you need church. You come to church, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get under the right kind of preaching, you get in the right kind of a church, and your faith will be built up. You'll take interest in spiritual things. Hey, there's some of you, you're very weak in faith. You're very weak in regard to your faith in God. Why? You don't go to church like you ought to go. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to say something. It's going to probably make a couple of you mad, but that's okay. I'm not preaching a sermon on the resurrection. Some of you, the only time you come to church is resurrection time. You've heard resurrection sermon 50 times. You need to hear about something else. There's more to the Bible. You say, well, I know about Jesus being born. Yeah, you come to church at Christmas and you come to church at Easter and that's it. Every once in a while, some preacher on Christmas ought to throw a fit about something so all they hear about is not just about Jesus being born in a manger. There's a whole lot more to the Christian life than that. But your faith has got to be built, and your faith won't be built absent of the Word of God. And the Word of God is preached. Hey, if you go to the right kind of church, the preacher's going to get up and he's going to get a Bible open and tell you the Bible says. Why? That strengthens your faith. We're to build our faith in God. We're to build our faith in God's Word. We're to build our faith in God's promises. We're to build our faith and believe God. Hey, and we're to be teaching others and be a good example of this thing of faith and believing in God. So it says build your faith. We as workers, we following the example of Jesus Christ who died, was buried and resurrected and was able to say, I finished my job, God. I did the work that you gave me to do. We are to be building in our lives. You know, we're to build mercy into our lives. Build mercy. The Bible says in Psalm 89, verse number 2, for I have said mercy shall be built up forever. There the Bible's talking about the building of mercy into the life. Let me explain something, and I don't have time to teach the doctrine of mercy, but let me make a few statements about it. Mercy is not the absence of punishment or discipline. It is the presence of punishment, but it is right treatment of the people that are being punished or being disciplined. You say, I'm going to show mercy. Mercy does not mean that somebody's not going to be corrected. It means they're going to be corrected, but they're going to be corrected with the right attitude. They're going to be treated right as they are corrected. See, there's an element of mercy, if you will. Part of mercy is forgiveness. Part of mercy is forgetting. Part of mercy is humility on behalf of the one that maybe had to correct someone. Did you know, if you're going to practice mercy right, somebody may get in trouble and they mess up a little bit. But, you know, after they paid their penalty, it's forgotten, it's forgiven, and we go on. There's not bitterness toward them. There's no lingering bad reputation. Now, let me tell you, God said we need to build mercy into our life. I can't tell you how many people, someone does them wrong, they don't forgive. They don't forget. There's somebody that does wrong and they get penalized for it. But there are people that will hold that against them the rest of their life. God said, you better learn how to build mercy into your life. He said, for I have said mercy shall be built up. Mercy is supposed to be in your life. I think this, those of you that are Christians that are a regular part of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I don't know of any of you that behave this way, but let me say something to you. There are people that have done wrong, and maybe they've done wrong, they've left the church, they don't behave themselves. Look, when they get right with God, they're to be given a chance to get right with God. They ought to feel like that they can come back to this church and that we can receive them and that we will show mercy. It ought to be that way. Hey, husbands and wives, show each other some mercy. Be good to each other. And mercy, again, mercy is not the absence of correction. It's the presence of correction, but it's proper treatment after the correction. You're with your children. Your kids are going to do wrong. Well, they get the correction, and then you know what you do? You love them, and they get a second chance. Thank God, as a child, you get a second chance. And a third chance.
Yes, sir.
And a fourth chance. And a fifth chance. Look, if you're young and you don't have any children, if you can't figure out how to be a person of a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a tenth and a 100th chance, don't have children. They'll rub you raw. Let me say to some of you, you're just reaping what you sowed when you were a kid at home. That's all you're going through. Yeah, that's all you're getting. I've been terrorized by the thought of it. Oh my. If I only knew back then what I know now, I wouldn't have caused my mom and dad the kind of grief that I did. But mercy, we've got to grow it. Hey, listen. God said, I want you to grow. I want you to build things. Build unity in your home. Build unity in your church. Build up that home, your marriage and your children. Build up the church. Build up the new Christian. Build these things up. Build up your faith. Build up your mercy. Hey, I love this. There's some of you, you really need this. You need to build up your relationship with the altar. The altar is this place down front where people come to kneel and pray. The altar represents a place to meet with God. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of humility. It's a place of submission. It's a place of confession. The altar was a must in the Bible. It's still a must today. Now, I'm very sorry, but if you stumbled in here and you don't know who we are, we're an old-fashioned Baptist kind of a church. That's what we are. We're not looking to be, and I don't want to make you mad, and I know it's Easter Sunday, but I'm not a contemporary person. I'm an old-time religion person. Don't plan to change anything at all. Not planning on changing. We still use an altar. There are churches everywhere. They stop using the altar. But, and I'll tell you what, it's where you meet God. I guess they just didn't want to meet with God anymore. Listen, Abraham in Genesis 22:9, you say, Abraham, what'd you do? It says, build an altar. Moses built an altar in Exodus 17:15. Aaron built an altar at Exodus 32:5. Joshua built an altar at Joshua 8:30. Gideon built an altar in Judges 6:24. Saul built an altar in 1 Samuel 14:35. David built an altar in 2 Samuel 24:45. Let me tell you all something. We need to build up our relationship with the altar. Christian, don't you be afraid to use this altar. If you need to come down here and get something straight with God, you need to do it. Don't you let anything stop you. Build up your relationship with the altar. You know, let me tell you this. Life, what is life really all about? Life is building a relationship with God. Life is building relationships with people. Now, you might say, well, life is me building my kingdom and becoming a billionaire. When you're laying on your deathbed, all your money won't mean anything. Two things will mean something. Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. You say, well, I'm still going to be a billionaire. Good. And I want you to tithe to my church. I'm not telling you can't be a billionaire, but I am going to tell you what's most important. What's most important is you building a relationship with God. And you building proper relationships with people. And I'm going to make you a promise. I know people that are as poor as Job's turkey who are happy because they've got a relationship with God and they get along with people. So let me tell you, if you want happiness in this life, you better be careful because you better know something about the God of the universe and the people that we have to live around. So the next to the last point. And I'm getting very close to being done. The Bible teaches we're just to build people. Amen. We're to build people. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." If you all look up here, you know what you're looking at? Yeah, I know. You like my tie, don't you?
Yeah.
I wanted to look like an Easter basket today. What you're looking at, I am something God has been building. Oh, if you'll be patient with me, He's still working on me. But once you get called a pastor, you don't suddenly become perfect. Amen? I knew you'd all say amen to that. Thank you. But I got to tell you, God, I'm God's building. God's been building on me. And so you know, God's been building on a bunch of other people too. God's not done with Mike yet. God's not done with Michael yet. God's not done with Karen yet. God doesn't even know Kenny. I love that song the children sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Listen, he's still working on me. He's still working on you. Let me tell you something. We're to be builders of people. I think you're either going to build them up or tear them down. Hey, gossips tear down people. Hey, Sunday school teacher, do more than just teach a lesson. Build people. Bus captain, don't just build an attendance. Build people. Parents, don't just get those kids through the process. I know some of you got your finger crossed. You're saying, I can't wait till they're 18. 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 Sometimes they stay. You are to build your sons. You're to build your daughters. Husband and wife, you ought to be building each other up. Why do you take your time to tear one another down? Why would we want to come to the church and be torn down? Why would we at home want to be tore down? We need build up. God said, be a builder. God's goal is to build you. God's goal is to build me. Now, we work. We're to work at it. We're to build unity. We're to build our homes. We're to build the church and build the young converts and build our faith and build mercy into our lives. And we do that by building a relationship with the altar. We're to build people. That's our church. I promise you something. I'm going to have to build a new auditorium. I care nothing about the structure. It's all about people. Helping people. Reaching people. That's what it's all about. We work to help God with the building and the process God wants us to go through in helping to build people. Oh, I've got something else I need to share with you. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You say, why? God already sent His Son to do that work. You got to do your job and let Jesus do His. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, He was doing the work to make salvation available. He paid the price. Then He comes to us and He said, I have a thing called salvation. It's a gift. I've already paid for it. You receive it freely. So if you'll realize you're a sinner, that there's a penalty for your sin, that's that place called hell, but that Jesus paid that penalty for you with His death, His burial, and resurrection, and you will say to Him, I'll receive what Jesus did as a gift, and I'll let Him pay my penalty, and then I go free, I'll receive Jesus as Savior. That's what salvation is. If you've never been saved, you ought to get saved. Now, I'm all for working and building, but you won't build salvation. Somebody already built that. That was Jesus. Amen. He makes it available as a free gift. This week, I'm just sure we have shared the gospel, and I know we've seen over 70 people receive Jesus Christ as Savior this week at our church. They receive what Jesus built. He built salvation. God created and Jesus performed this thing called salvation so we can go to heaven when we die. Now, let's make sure we as Christians are builders. Let's build the right things. Let's work toward God's goals for our lives. If you're not saved here today, I want to welcome you to the Savior. It's easy to get saved. Jesus did the hard part. You see, He did the work. One little girl, I heard her telling her friend, she's trying to get her friend to get saved. She must have been about 8. And her friend needed to get saved. And she told her, she said to her friend, Jesus, He did it all. And the girl said, well, what am I supposed to do? And her friend said, you just do the letting. You do the letting. You let Him save you. I thought, great theology. Just let Jesus do the let. You just do the letting and Jesus will do the saving. That's all there is to it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question to you is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact that you would go to heaven? If you said, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. I will pray for you. I promise. Is there anybody here that would say, pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. Will you raise your hand and let me see it so I can pray for you? Good. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. Good. I see that hand over here to my left. God bless you. Someone else, you say, I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not born again. Okay? Then I'm going to ask the question a different way. How many here would say, I know for a fact I am saved? I'm not going to lie in church. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm saved. I know it. If I die today, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you let God see your hand? Would you put it up for a moment? All right. God bless you. Now you put your hand down. Listen, if you couldn't raise your hand, wouldn't want to hurt you for anything in the world, but I need to tell you the truth. You're either saved or you're not. There's no halfway in between. So if you're not saved, you need to get born again. Listen, how many then would say this, pastor, I do need to work on building some of these important things in my life. I need to work on building my family up and building with my children and helping to build the church and building the right relationship with God. I've got to work on that. And God spoke to my heart today. I need that. I need to build the right things in my life. Would you let God see your hand? You say, yeah, God spoke to me. I needed that. I needed to hear that. I needed challenged. You may put those hands down. Christians, there are some of you that just raised your hand and said, you need to work on it. I wish you'd come this morning and pray for a moment. It'd be good for the others that they would see you come. May help others to even feel at liberty to come. If you raised your hand just a moment ago and you said, I need to be saved. If you'll just come toward the front, you just step out. You just say, excuse me, to the people that are around you. And you come toward the front. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. Those of you that are preparing for baptism, you need to go ahead and step out. You know where to go. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin playing right now. Then let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, Christian, why don't you come? Do you need to build some mercy in your life? Do you need to build your home, your marriage, build your children? You need to help build the new converts, your faith, your mercy. You need to come. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're not saved, you come. We'd like to take a Bible and teach you how to be born again. We'd like to make sure you're on your way to heaven when you die. The altar is open. You feel free to come. Don't be shy about it. Don't be afraid to build a relationship with the altar. Don't be afraid to come and pray and ask God to help you. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to work in your life. The altar is open. Again, ask yourself this question. If I died today, do I know for a fact I would go to heaven? If you would not, then you come, we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be saved. There's somebody in here right now. You need to get your faith built up in God. You've destroyed it. You've not been in church. You've not been in the Bible. You need to get that faith strong. Build it up. Get it built up right. Build people. Every ministry leader in this church, the object is not just to get through the program and get it over with. The object is to build lives. Build people. Build little boys and build little girls and build adults and build marriages and help people to succeed in life. That's what the church is all about. That's what God's all about. Helping people. Growing people. There are those yet coming. Continue to play, Sarah. Again, Sarah, one more time through the song, just one more time. And pick up the pace just a little bit, if you will, Sarah. Thank you. The altar's still open. If you need, you come. In a moment, we'll find that there have been some people that have trusted Christ as Savior, and we'll let you know about that, and we'll have baptism. It won't be long. You'll be on your way. And let me tell you, if you're in a hurry and you say, I just got to get out of here. Well, it's Easter. This is a day we celebrate Jesus. Don't be in a hurry to run away from God's house. Thank you, Sarah.